For over 45 years, Pensacola Christian College has set aside some time each spring semester for Bible conference. These days of concentrated study and preaching from the Word of God are a time of spiritual enrichment for our students, faculty and staff, and many others who join us for these services. We're pleased to welcome you to the PCC Bible Conference.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, if you look there, and I want to encourage you to find it and then hold your place there. We're going to come back to that and consider this thought in a number of different ways tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And once you've found 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse number 7. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Would you read the verse with me one time, please, together? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Her name was Helen Rosevere. She was a missionary to Africa. She told the story of a great need that she faced as she was serving the Lord in the mission field. A mother had died in the labor ward, leaving Helen with a tiny premature baby and a crying 2-year-old little girl. They had great difficulty keeping this baby alive. They had no incubator. They had no electricity to run an incubator. They had no special feeding facilities. A student midwife went for the box they had for such babies. Another went to stoke up the fire and to fill a hot water bottle. And she came back shortly in great distress to tell Helen that the last hot water bottle had burst. This was a serious problem. There was no place to get a replacement. They had to do everything they possibly could to keep that baby warm. Helen went to have prayer with the children of the orphanage. She explained the need and she asked the children to pray for her and pray that they would get a hot water bottle to keep that baby warm so that the baby would not die. One of the little girls in that orphanage, her name was Ruth. And she prayed out loud and she said, "Please, God, send us a water bottle. It'll be no good tomorrow, God. So please, God, send it this afternoon." Helen said that as Ruth prayed that prayer, she gasped inwardly. But then Ruth continued on with her prayer. And she said, "Please, God, while you're about it, would you please send a doll for the little girl so she'll know that you really love her?" Helen said this little girl's incredibly amazing prayer of faith made her pause, because in her heart she knew that God can do anything. But she also knew that the only way God could answer this particular prayer for a hot water bottle and for a baby doll would be by sending a parcel from the United States of America. And she said that in 4 years, she had never received a parcel from home, not a single one. Besides that, she thought, why in the world would anyone put in a hot water bottle or a baby doll? The whole idea was so far-fetched. Later that afternoon, Helen received word that there was a vehicle at her home. When she arrived, the car was gone, but on the veranda was a large 22-pound parcel. The children quickly, excitedly gathered around and helped open the box. And first of all, out came some beautiful clothes for the little children. And then as she reached in her hand again, she couldn't believe it. Out came a brand new hot water bottle. Helen had asked God to send it, but she really had not believed that he really would. Ruth was in the front row of these children. She rushed forward, crying out again with great faith, "If God sent the bottle, he must have sent the doll too." And rummaging down to the bottom of that box, Ruth pulled out a small, beautifully dressed doll. Her eyes shone. She had never doubted. The parcel had been on its way from the United States for 5 whole months. Packed by Helen's former Sunday school class, whose leader had heard and obeyed God's prompting to send a hot water bottle, and one of the little girls had put in a doll for an African child 5 months earlier in answer to the believing prayer of faith of a 10-year-old little girl. A little girl who believed in the omnipotent power of God. A little girl who prayed that God would bless them with a hot water bottle and that God would bless them with a doll that afternoon. What faith? Matthew 17:20, Jesus said, "If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." God calls us to have faith. To have faith in Him. And not just any faith, He calls us to have great faith. And we can have great faith because we have a great God. What is faith? What is faith? Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Do you know an African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet? Did you know that an African impala can cover a distance of greater than 30 feet with a single jump? But did you know that an African impala could be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall? Because the African impala will not jump where they cannot see where their feet will fall. Faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. And with faith, we are freed from the flimsy enclosures of life that only fear allows to entrap us. In other words, we cannot see God physically, but we trust Him, we believe Him anyway. Webster puts it this way, faith is a belief in the veracity of God. Faith is a belief in all the declarations of God's word, a full and affectionate confidence in the certainty of those things which God has declared because God has declared them. In other words, we fully trust God. We fully believe God. We have absolute confidence in what God has said. No matter what, we trust Him. I want to ask you to carefully consider two words tonight. Just two words. By faith. Why is faith so very important? Well, let's start with this. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, the Word of God says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him." You can't please God some of the time without faith. You can't please God any of the time without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why is faith so important? Well, we're saved by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I can't help tonight but think of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. The jailer's question, after all that had taken place that night, was a very important one. The question that jailer asked that night was a question that applies to all humanity today. We find that question in Acts chapter 16 and verses 30 and 31, where the Word of God says, "He brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" What a question. A question asked by countless people across the world today. How can I have forgiveness of sins? How can I gain access to heaven? Well, the answer came ringing through the night where the Word of God says, "And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.'" John 3:14, "And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why is faith important? You can't please God outside of faith. Why is faith important? You can't be saved outside of faith. Why is faith important? We're justified by faith. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word justify is a beautiful word. It means to pardon. It means to clear from guilt. It means to absolve or acquit from guilt and merited punishment. To accept as righteous on account of the merits of the Savior or by the application of Christ's atonement to the offender. Don't miss that truth. Justify means to pardon and clear from guilt. Forgiven. How does this happen? What causes this justification to take place? When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior by faith. Why is faith important? You can't please God outside of faith. Why is faith important? We're saved by faith. Why is faith important? We're justified by faith. Why is faith important? We're sanctified by faith. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Sanctified to cleanse. To purify, to make holy, to set apart, to appoint to a holy, sacred, or religious use. When God saved us, He sanctified us. He set apart us for His use. We're a chosen vessel for the Master's use. This happens when we're saved by faith. Why is faith so important? You can't please God outside of faith. Why is faith so important? We're saved by faith. Why is faith so important? We're sanctified by faith. Why is faith so important? We're justified by faith. Why is faith so important? We live by faith. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Every morning I get up early and I go out and I walk. And as I walk in the morning early and it's still dark outside, I'm able to spend time with my daughter who I walk with. And when we're done, I spend time listening to the Word of God. I spend time in prayer with God. And as I walk, there's a man that I see who walks the same time and takes the same general path that my daughter and I walk. This is really interesting, though, because as this man walks, he walks on the curb between the sidewalk and the street. And you can tell that he's conscientiously working to keep his balance. It's not always easy for him, and he explained to us when we asked him one day why he did that. He said, well, at my age, I'm working to make sure I can keep my balance. There are times in life when we feel just like that. We're not confident we can keep our footing. We're not certain we can maintain our balance. We're not sure we can keep from falling. We don't know if we can keep from injuring ourselves, keep from hurting God or someone else. We need to remember that we must live by faith. In everything we do, purposing to live by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith. A man told the story of traveling one day with George Mueller, the great man of faith. He said in his words, it was my privilege to cross the Atlantic in the company of George Mueller on a steamship. He said, I met Mr. Mueller in the express office the morning of sailing about a half hour before the tender was to take the passengers to the ship. He asked of the agent if a deck chair had arrived for him from New York. The answer was no. And the answer was it could not possibly arrive in time for the steamer. Well, I had with me a chair, this man said, that I had just purchased. And I told Mr. Mueller the place nearby where I had found it. And I suggested that he better buy one at once. His reply was, no, my brother. Our Heavenly Father will send the chair from New York. It is the chair used by Mrs. Mueller, the one we used when we came over. And we left it in New York when we landed. I wrote 10 days ago to another brother who promised to see it forwarded here last week. And he has not been as prompt as I would have desired. But I am certain our Heavenly Father will send that chair. Mrs. Mueller is very sick upon the sea and has particularly desired to have this very same chair. And not finding it here yesterday, as we supposed, we have made special prayer that our Heavenly Father would be pleased to provide it for us, and we will trust Him to do so. As this dear man of God went peacefully aboard, I fear that he was carrying his faith a little bit too far. But I was there at the office, and as I started to hurry to the wharf, a team of horses drove up. And on top of the load, just arrived from New York, was Mrs. Mueller's chair. I was sent at once to take the chair to Mr. Mueller, the Lord having a lesson for me. And as the boat was leaving the dock, I found Mr. and Mrs. Mueller in a retired spot on the side of the ship, and I handed him the chair, and he took it with the happy, pleased expression of a child who has just received a kindness deeply appreciated. And reverently removing his hat and folding his hands over it, he thanked his Heavenly Father for sending the chair. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And this is the confidence which we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hears whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions we desired of him. Trusting God by faith. Why faith? We stand by faith. Romans 11:20. Well, because of unbelief, they are broken off, and thou standest by faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. A young girl unaccustomed to traveling was taking a train ride through the country. And it happened that in the course of the day, her train was obliged to cross two branches of a river and several wide streams. The water seen in advance on this train, this young lady, always awakened doubts and fears in this child. She just couldn't understand how that body of water could be safely crossed. As they drew near, however, the river, a bridge appeared and furnished a way over. Two or three times that same experience happened again, the bridge being present to enable the crossing. And finally, the child leaned back with a deep sigh of relief and confidence. And she said, somebody has put bridges for us all the way. That's life, isn't it? We fear so many evils. So many troubles look so dark and ominous. So many difficulties seem so completely insurmountable as they loom threateningly before us. But as we advance, we find a way through them, through the darkness of night. God makes a way. Aren't you thankful tonight that God's built bridges all the way? He wants us to trust Him by faith. He's fully trustworthy, and He wants us to trust Him, and we should trust Him. And my friends, that is faith. Why faith? Have you considered we have access by faith? Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise God tonight that we can approach God's throne of grace, the throne of Almighty, Omnipotent God, believing that God can and believing that God will answer prayer. And He is your Heavenly Father tonight. And He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to bring our burdens to Him. He wants us to carry our needs to Him by faith. Let's go back to Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. See, Micah, make our way through Hebrews 11. We find the names of so many people, named people, unnamed people, that are legends in the Word of God. What was it about these people? Some of them named like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Moses and Rahab and Gideon and Samson and Samuel. Many unnamed people that please God in a special way. And we ask ourselves, what was it about this group? What was it about these people that pleased God in such a unique and special way? I will tell you, it was their faith. Back in 1955, a group of Christians with a pioneering spirit, led by Lee and Florence Brock, were led to start a Baptist church in the west end of the San Fernando Valley. And as they started that church, this man, an auto mechanic, just believing there was a need for a church in that area, started this church in his home. And this group of people got together and they said, you know, what are we going to name this church? And they decided that God was leading them to stand in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. May we purpose tonight to say, God, with your help, I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. God, I want to live my life keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, saying, God, I want to keep my eyes on you. I want to keep my focus on you. I want to keep my attention on you. God, I want a purpose to live my life by faith. Pastor, come on, this idea of faith, that sounds nice. In theory. Come on, it's 2022. We've been through so much. We've seen so much. Life can be tough. Life can be so uncertain. Life can be so discouraging. It can be difficult. It can be harsh. Faith in God makes great optimists. In Burma, missionary Adoniram Judson was lying in a foul jail cell with 32 pounds of chains on his ankles, his feet bound to a bamboo pole. Someone walked in and said, Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen? He said with a sneer on his face. And Adoniram Judson's instant reply was, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him, whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Simply trusting God by faith. Captain Johnson was serving as a chaplain on an island in the South Pacific during World War II. He prepared to go on a bombing raid on an enemy-occupied set of islands several hundred miles away. The mission was a complete success, but on the homeward course, the plane began to lose altitude. The engines faded out. A safe landing was made on a strange island. It was learned later that the enemy was just a half mile away in each direction, yet the landing had somehow, some way, gone undetected. A staff sergeant came to the chaplain. He said, Chaplain, look, you've been telling us now for months that we need to pray. And Chaplain, you've been telling us for months that God answers prayer in time of trouble. Well, Chaplain, I want to tell you, we're in trouble. We're out of gas. Our base is several hundred miles away. We're surrounded by the enemy. Chaplain, you've got to pray. And Chaplain Johnson began to pray, God, we need you to do a miracle. And night came, and the chaplain continued on in earnest prayer. About 2 a.m, the sergeant was walking along the water's edge. He discovered a metal float that had drifted up the beach. A metal float that contained containers of the fuel that they so desperately needed. In a few hours, because of the fuel they discovered, they were on their way home and reached home safely. An investigation revealed that the skipper of a U.S. tanker finding his ship in sub-infested waters had the gasoline cargo set adrift so he could minimize the danger in case of torpedo attack. Barrels were placed on barges and put adrift 600 miles away from where Johnson and the plane were forced down. There's no explanation but God. How many times in the Word of God do we find an impossible situation where God's people had no hope and no help and it looked like no way and no recourse, and then all of a sudden we read those two words, but God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let me ask you tonight, what need do you need met in your life tonight? What is it you're praying for? What burden is it that you're carrying? What family member or loved one really, really needs to be saved? What family member or loved one really needs to come back to God? Remember tonight. Always remember that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Remember tonight that the Word of God says, and he said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God. God can. And God wants me and God wants you to purpose to live our lives by faith. I care not today what tomorrow may bring. If shadow or sunshine or rain, the Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe in his sheltering arms. I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ told us in John chapter 10 that we'll never perish and that no man can ever pluck us out of his hand. My Father, which gave me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, I and my Father are one. Could I remind you tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The following words come from a Rwandan man who in 1980 was forced by his tribe to either renounce Christ or face certain death. I'm part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I will not look back. I will not let up. I will not slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, chintzy giving and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity and position, promotions, plaudits or popularity. I now live by his presence. Lean by faith. Love by patience. Lift by prayer. Labor by power. My pace is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few, but my guide is reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought. I cannot be compromised. I cannot be deterred. I will not be lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. Hesitate in the presence of adversity. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until heaven returns, give until I drop, preach until I'll know, work until he comes, and when he comes to get his own, he'll have no problem recognizing me because my colors will be clear. By faith. We think we need to walk by sight. We want it to make sense. We want to see the end from the beginning. But I want to remind you tonight, our Lord, he knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. When I was a little kid, I grew up, there were 7 kids in my home. I did some crazy stuff. I tried tightrope walking in the backyard. It didn't work very well. I stretched a rope across 2 poles, and I tried that, and it didn't turn out real well. Well, I tried to parachute off the roof of my house with my umbrella. And that wasn't going very well either. And I had gotten up there on that roof that day, and I can remember trying to get down off that roof. And I'll be honest with you, the ladder just seemed so far away. And going up, it wasn't that difficult, but going down, I was hanging down from that roof and I was trying to reach that ladder and I couldn't find that ladder with my feet. And I can still hear my dad's words. He says, "Son, just let go. I've got you." And God looks at you tonight and we're trying to hold on for dear life. Trying to walk by sight. And God says, "I've got you. Trust me. By faith." A few years ago, we redid our auditorium. When we redid our auditorium, we took out a lot of brick in front of that church. And I have a brick from that front of the auditorium at our church that I have at my house. And I often look at that brick. And I think back to my dad coming to that church with a little handful of people back in September of 1960. Between 30 and 40 people there. Just a little house and kitchen. Just a little building the people had built with their bare hands. Nothing but fields and dirt. And I look at it today and I think, this is here because of faith. Faith in the almighty, omnipotent hand of God. And I think back to my dad saying, "Son, I've got you." And I look at that brick on a regular basis saying, "God, the same faith that built this church will continue to move this church forward for you. Because it's not my church. It's your church." And God, back in 1955, when a handful of people started this church and said, "We're going to walk by faith, not by sight," I said, "God, please help me, help us to continue to move forward by faith." God loves you tonight. What a message we heard a few moments ago about the unbelievable, unfathomable love of God. He is fully trustworthy tonight. And he wants me, and he wants you to trust him by faith. Would you read the verse with me one more time? 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 7. I pray that we'll remember these words. God's word will not return void. Isaiah 55, 11 will accomplish God's purpose in our lives. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Would you read them with me? 2 Corinthians 5, 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Not just the people from the Bible. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants me And he wants you to walk by faith. Two words, by faith. By faith. By faith.
You've been listening to a Bible conference message from Pensacola Christian College. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.